Now, earlier this summer, Johnny Hewitt's son Cameron was on the Bearsbridge Road during a band parade. In the quarter of a mile that he walked to his house, four different groups of people called him names because Cameron is gay. Now, Cameron left Northern Ireland to study in England and doesn't want to return here because of what he sees as the prejudice he's faced on a regular basis. Johnny has been speaking to Stephen and told him what happened and how it has affected his son.
Cameron's just basically my eldest son, and really, suppose as a working class parent, you would brought them all up the same, but from an early age we knew that really he was gay, and really, as a lad.
How did you know?
Well, from he was 3 years old, really, the first thing I remember at Christmas, he got normal boys' toys stuff, and the girl next door, her wee girl, got a kitchen, and he played in that, and it was just sort of knew that he was gay, but, you know.
And did you care?
Not really, no, we didn't bother about it. Nobody brought anything up about it. He was always into his church, and he went to church a lot, and still is, and he just carried on with life, sort of as normal. But as you get older, as, you know, sexuality comes about, we sort of noticed that he didn't bother with girlfriends, but not girlfriends. As I say, he was very into church, so we thought he's dedicating his life to God and that and stuff, and we never really thought any more about it. And then 17, he came out. And
how did he tell you?
In the car, he says, "By the way, Dad, do you know I'm gay?" And I says, "Well, yes, son, I sort of knew all your life you were gay." And it was like relief off him for about a year. He distanced himself from me a bit.
Had he? That must have been worrying for you.
It was worrying, because was leading up to that, I think, and I think he thought, working class Protestant male, I tell my dad this, my dad will go, "You're no son of mine," you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. I always knew, I was just glad it came out.
And was it a relief for him?
It was a relief, it was, but, you know, as a parent, at the minute, I see a lot of stuff, especially when you look at our politicians and stuff, a lot of anti-gay stuff coming about, and it seems to correlate a bit more, the anti-gay stuff on the street. And they're talking about stuff we don't know, like as if a child chooses to be gay. They have three boys, were brought up exactly the same way, and we knew from no age that he was going to be gay. It's not, you don't choose it, it's in your DNA the minute you're born, I think.
So what did he experience on the streets? What type of bullying did he experience?
At school he experienced a wee bit on the bus and stuff. But that on the 1st of July, I think it was just people with too much drink in them. Like, you know, I wouldn't blame the Orange Order or Bonds or anything. It was just people with too much drink. And I think, personally, it correlates with stuff coming out of Stormont about...
What were they shouting at him?
It told me he was a faggot and gay being this and that. But it's the first time I've ever seen him. It annoy him that much. I think he must have felt a bit...
Well, how did he react?
He just walked on. He says, "I just walked, put my head down and walked on." Oh, it was the 1st of July. He was just walking home, and, you know, we're from a loyalist tradition, and he played in the Corneille band and stuff and that, and he was just walking around to my house and four different groups of people. As he says himself, he says it was just bravado, like, in front of girls, but I'm sure it was a bit. He's never mentioned about stuff like that before until he came into the house and said that, and must have annoyed him, and he was going through a bit at the time as well. So,
and you mentioned the Orange Order there. You're in the Orange Order.
Yeah.
Well, were any problems, any issues within the Orange Order for you?
No, I've no issues with anything they got. No, you know, anybody I have, friends or whatever, you know, they just seem to accept Cameron for what he is. But, you know, he's went through a hard time. Personally, I feel that my son had to leave Northern Ireland to have a life. And I don't think he was equipped at the time to leave Northern Ireland.
That's really sad, isn't it? That someone who otherwise could stay here and have their life in Northern Ireland, they feel that they can't be themselves. They have to get out. That's a really sad reflection in Northern Ireland, isn't it?
The good kids seem to, you know, we're going to lose our brightest children. We're going to lose the ones that should be building Northern Ireland are going, because he was originally going to study theology in Belfast. He wants to become a minister. Now he's over in England studying in Oasis College in London. But the emotional of leaving Northern Ireland, of all that. No, it's played havoc with his mental health.
And had his mental health been deteriorating?
Yes, unbeknown to us, his mental health had been deteriorating to a point now where he's had to take a year out of university and try and gather himself together. We're not sure what the diagnosis is going to be at the minute, but certainly he's very up and down, very one minute very elated, next minute in bed, depressed, can't get out of bed. And
that strong faith he has, Johnny, did he not think, did your son not think that he could have that faith and express himself and be himself, a churchgoer, a gay churchgoer in Northern Ireland?
Some churches now, there is churches he does attend here, but in reality, no, I go to church myself and I believe that it's your own personal faith with God, what you do, but he just didn't feel that Northern Ireland's open enough to accept.
You've mentioned the politicians. What's your message to them?
Message to the politicians would be that, you know, come and talk to people. Like, my family would have been a DUP family all their days. I feel personally as a sort of someone that they would expect to vote for them, that they've actually went backwards from me in Paisley went. It's actually...
So this is the DUP you're talking about, is it?
They've actually become even narrower. You know, like, I would expect my children to be unionist voters. And my eldest wouldn't vote unionism because of they just see the DUP as anti-gay, anti-this, anti-the
well,
other.
Well, the DUP would say that they're not anti-gay, of course. They would say that they're anti-gay marriage. Why are you speaking out? Why are you speaking about this?
Because I've felt for about seven, eight months that my betrayal is, when you hear it on the TV, that it's sort of betrayal as a lifestyle choice. And to me, this is the first experience our family's had of having a gay child or a gay cousin, brother, whatever. It's not a lifestyle choice. It's from the DNA you were born. It's in your DNA. It's you know, they cut open a rock. It's in Blackpool. It says Blackpool Rock. If you cut open a person who's gay, it's in them. It's not, you know, it's put across like a lifestyle choice. As if people choose to be gay and choose to just noise everybody up, you know what I mean? But it's not. It's there. And most people accept it. And we've got to be accepting. We've got to, you know, we've got to sort of just let people get on with it. And it's no use. If our politicians are going to lead, they have to lead for everyone. You know, you can't just...
But they would say they're not anti-gay. They're anti-gay marriage, and they're entitled to that view. And when they stand in front of the electorate, they get votes.
Yeah, they are entitled to that view, but it's a people anti-gay marriage. It's a people... I don't have a view really on gay marriage. I can see where it comes from when you go into the legal sense of if you get a mortgage together, etc. and all. I can see where you would need that protection, because it's basically a marriage really, isn't it? Where you would need the law to come in if you broke up and sort stuff out, like a normal relationship. But, you know, it's nobody else's real business. I don't think the people mind what you call it, whatever you call it. It just seems to be some politicians think that, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah and Ulster will blow up if we allow it.
And just finally, do you think there will be, in any time in the near future, a climate in Northern Ireland where your son can come back here and happily live, being himself?
Yes, I think there is. I think the politicians are a bit behind the people. And most people don't bother. I volunteer as a youth worker and stuff, and the kids coming up, they just accept everybody for what they are, who they are and whatever. I think the politicians are stuck a wee bit behind.
So you're a loyalist who feels abandoned. You feel that none of the big parties are identifying with you.
Well, I don't think they'll do anything for any of the loyalist community, you know. I live in the middle east, Belfast, and nobody even bothered rapping my door to ask me was a vote, and they just took my vote as a cert. Like, where he lives, that's your vote. You don't even need to bother here. There's lots of things they've abandoned our communities of, and one of them's education. And there's no jobs, and the kids are being left school as if the shipyard's still open, and the shipyard's not open, and they haven't even bothered to educate kids.
You seem angry.
Oh, I am angry because they've just seemed to have left that loyalist community behind. And all they do is come out and wave a Union Jack and expect to vote for us and keep Amundsen out. They're not doing nothing for anybody.
Johnny, thanks for talking to me.